Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. You're tuned to KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, 90.9 FM. And now 103.3 FM, K277CR, Durango, Colorado. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community owned and operated, here for you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm your host, Chief Steve Hebby, and with me, as always, is our Public Information Officer, Shanice Gonzalez.
Hi,
how are you doing, Shanice?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you ready for the show?
I am.
Are you at all nervous?
I'm always ready.
Are you
always
all nervous?
Ready.
Okay. Well, we'll see how she's doing this week. We've had another couple of busy weeks, but we're already into June, which is actually surprising. It is flying. This year, and we are, you know, we're going to be the 4th of July before you know it. I think we'll have one more show before then, and we're already the 4th of July. So we've had a bunch going on. As many of you know, we're still processing the scene from the shooting from a couple of weeks ago. That is something that still dominates our detective division as we do all the follow-up with that. But events have continued on. So we had Riverfest, which was very well attended, although it had its issues this year with the threat of, and it was a very real threat of flooding. Did you make it down there?
I did not.
Were
I
you
was
wading
in
into the
tournament.
Softball tournament?
I followed it all along Facebook. Though,
you did, so. And I don't know. Is there flooding down there right now on the river?
I don't think right now. Yeah, they still taking the precautions.
Yeah, they were worried, and so that split up the vendors, moved a little further west, and so it was different, but I was down there, and it was very well attended. A lot of folks, a lot of vendors. So Riverfest is a good time, but the downside to rivers is sometimes they flood. And so this year, there's a very real threat. In fact, I just crossed over the river coming back today. I was down in Santa Fe, and the river is very high as you were rolling through Flora Vista. So in any event, I hope you had a chance to get out and see us there. Last week, I was down in Phoenix for the graduation of two of our folks, and Scott has it posted on KSJE's website. It's a photo with Kenny Smith is on the right with the white shirt, and Jeremy Hill, who's a lieutenant, is on the left. And Jeremy and Sergeant Smith were down at Northwestern School of Police Staff and Command in Mesa. It's a 10-week course. They're down there the entire time and learning really all there is to learn about everything from shift configurations to leadership to statistics to public information to internal affairs. It's really kind of the class that we send our folks to, both sergeant and lieutenant rank, for middle management in law enforcement. So just like the military has NCO schools and things like that, as you go up in rank, same in policing. Northwestern is one of the premier ones in the country, and we send our guys to these pretty regularly. And these two did a great job. 11 weeks is a 10 to 11 week class. Long time away from home, away from family, away from work. Pretty good commitment by the agency to support our folks as they develop. And these two had, a unique experience mixed with a lot of different agencies. I think they said there was like 15 or 20 agencies, and they had a class of 31. So they had agencies from Washington State to New Mexico, and you know, lots of Arizona, obviously, and some from the Navajo Nation. So a pretty unique group that they got to mix with, and we're proud to go down there and see them graduate. So we also send folks to the National Academy, which is the FBI runs that, and it's out in Washington, D.C. Those are similarly 11-week courses. So as a as you move up the ranks at FPD, you can wind up doing, you know, 3 to 6 months living away from the department and from your family as you're learning the skill set to move up in rank. But we've been very devoted to that over the last 9 years, and I think the results have been good for us and good for the individuals. So we're investing in them and their career as well. So Northwestern School of Police Staff and Command, great job by those guys. We have other events coming up. Freedom Days is not far off.
July 1st. Freedom Days.
And that really begins a pretty hard last 2 months of the summer. Because right on the heels of that, then, is the 4th of July parade. We move quickly into Connie Mack. Connie Mack goes pretty good. And then we start gearing up for the Balloon Fest, which occurs in September. But until then, we have the Jolt Jamboree, which I think you just heard advertised, and which Scott was telling me he is going to be prominently displayed there again. He'll probably be in shorts or something along those lines. Scott likes to kind of wow us with his wardrobe. I'm sorry, Scott, please don't touch the mic. The show is still ongoing. So, but if you have a chance, it's at the museum from 10 to 3 tomorrow, the Jolt Jamboree. We also did, and Shanice, you were along with me, we did a walk through the neighborhood where the May 15th shooting happened. Made contact with residents up and down the street on Dustin, on both sides of the street, who'd been affected directly by the shooting incident. Passed out some information on mental health care that providers are offering for free for residents that were affected by that. We had a chance to talk with a variety of residents there, and it really was a nice little outreach event that gave us a chance to, you know, kind of talk with people when things weren't in crisis and hear them out a little bit and hear what some of their concerns were.
And it was awesome just on their front porch. So we learned some things that we didn't know. Being able to connect with those people, you know, they were talking about how traumatic it was that the paint was still on their driveways where the bullets were. So we got with our DCU unit and were able to clean those up. There was a woman that you guys went into her home and looked around at the damage that happened with that. And then again, you got with our DCU team and ended up fixing a water line that she couldn't get fixed at the time. So no, it was an awesome outreach.
Yeah, it was, you know, there's always that rush of emotion and energy when an event first happens. And then, you know, a week or two later, things are kind of dying down. Everybody's moving on with their life. And this group still has all of the event, you know, fresh on their face. The orange, so our forensics unit goes around and we were circling the casings and any other evidence that was from the scene. As you can imagine, you know, a scene that extended a couple of hundred yards up and down the street with hundreds of bullets being fired. There was a lot of things that our detectives were interested in picking up. So we had circled all those in orange paint. Eventually that paint does wash off, but it wasn't happening very quickly. And when we were walking, we could see it too. And some of the community asked if we could take care of that. And we were able to get that taken care of. And then it's just the people like the lady that we met right at the end. The mayor was with us and we went in and talked with her. And first she was all excited that the mayor and police chief were at her house. But then she shows us a bullet had gone through her window and then lodged in the wall above her head where her chair was. She was fortunate not to be home at the time, but insurance wasn't an option for her. Her deductible was too high, so it just wasn't fixed. So we were able to coordinate. You know, the mayor did some outreach to some of his contacts, and we were able to help her get the window fixed, and we're still looking at ways that we can help with contractors to to maybe help folks that have drywall damage and things like that that need to be fixed. Although, honestly, I was going to send you over. You're kind of a drywall expert these days, aren't you?
I am, unfortunately.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us how you – well, never mind. We'll have a kind of a do-it-yourself show.
It's a learning process. There's a lot to learn. Yeah. A lot of mistakes.
I do not make those mistakes because I don't try it. So more credit to Shanice. She actually is trying it. But, for some of these folks, a bullet hole in the wall in your living room that you live with as a reminder of that event every day, that's something that, we're kind of determined to continue outreach to that community and see if we can help them with things like that. Now, maybe that wouldn't ordinarily be the job of the police department, but in this case, I feel like it was such a traumatic event for our community. I don't want to just... kind of move on. I want to stay engaged. I want them to know that we're here and help them get to the resources that they need so that they can move on, the best that they can. But we've had really a great response from our mental health providers in town have really stepped up. And then the council, it was, I think three or four of our counselors were there, three of our counselors, I guess, and the mayor. And we went and visited folks up and down the street. I saw we didn't announce that on the front end of it because we don't want it to be a media circus. This was a discussion with people that have been traumatized. They should have a right to see their chief and the mayor. And so we hadn't publicized that we were doing that on the front end of it, and then we did talk a little bit about it on the back end. But it's a tough one. People were subject to a lot of media and a lot of attention, a lot of focus on their neighborhood, for a brief period of time, and then everybody kind of folds their tents and heads off to the next big news story. So I was pleased that we had a chance to go in and talk, and really some of the stories from some of the folks, and the fact that they seemed so happy just to see us, not forgetting them and still in the community. I don't get tons of joy out of my job, especially at times like that, but those kind of connections I do like, and that's really what we should be trying for, whether it's the police or fire or any part of city government. We should be trying to help our citizens have a better life and have a better experience, and that was just a horrific day, so hard for the community to move on from.
It really was, and I loved your guys' leadership in that. Even talking to all the people that were home, they were able to give you what that day was like. One of the counselors, you guys were talking to another house, but the husband had came out and said that his wife was down the road putting the baby in the car when they had heard all the shots being fired, and that's just traumatic. So just being able to talk with those people about what that experience was like one-on-one with your community leaders was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. No, it was, that'll be a tough one for us to get over, I think, as a community. It's tougher for me to get over. It was an unbelievable day, honestly. And I, as you know, I wasn't actually in town, which made it even worse. You're now physically remote from it. But I think everybody, I think the officers that responded, I think the community, I think the from my deputy chiefs and my captains and I, it had an impact on you, and you just don't bounce back from it that fast. So I enjoyed the chance to go around and talk with them a little bit and see how folks are doing. And people really are resilient. Whether it's in Ukraine and you're watching some of those folks and what they're going through, or just our citizens here, trying to process what happened, shocked by it, of course, and then stunned at what they were seeing. But also kind of processing it and trying to move on in life. And so let's talk about how we do it. One of the residents had talked about trying to do a block party, something that I think the police department would be pleased to help facilitate towards the end of the summer when everybody's kind of settled in a little bit and we all have a chance to kind of come together. I like that idea. So those kind of initiatives, I think, are they give people a chance to talk and relay some of their feelings, which I want to hear. But then they also get their brain flowing with different ideas on how they can be a stronger community. So I like the event. Otherwise, we have, we've had a rough couple of months. Our officer, Sergeant DeSenza, is still not back, but she is continuing to heal, and I hear nothing but good things on that front. Seems to have a good attitude, knows that she will be back. It's just, you know, things like standing and sitting, which are pretty basic for us. You know, that's more painful for her still at this time. But frankly, the fact that she's doing as well as she is just a couple of weeks from the incident, you know, we're extremely fortunate for that. So we will, you know, we'll update you on her progress as soon as she comes back. I think that'll be another big event for the community and for the department when she actually comes back. That's the second officer of FPD and the third officer here in San Juan County that have been shot in the last 18 months, which is just a stunning. We'd gone 30 years or more and had not had an officer shot in the line of duty, and now we're kind of on this pace. So these are already more troubling times to be a police officer and to attract people into the profession, but events like this don't necessarily help us.
It's good, though, that it hasn't harmed it either. Like, our academies are still full. We still have people coming in the door. People are still taking applications.
Yes.
So
there was even some uptick following the event of people that wanted to serve with the police department after that. And that is a good one. We didn't see officers quitting the department. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be a traumatic thing for the family when you realize, there's talk of your officer getting into life-threatening circumstances, but the reality of it actually, when it's people you know, is different. But we have not had officers quitting, and we've actually had an uptick in applications. So if you are thinking about being a police officer, you know, I'm telling you right now is a time we need good folks committed to the community like you saw on the videos we released, and you absolutely have a chance to make a difference. And then some of the things that I'm describing that we do afterwards, continuing to have an impact on the community and work with people. And that really is policing. It really is a people business.
No, absolutely.
So we are looking at a couple of different things coming up for the summer, and Freedom Days is one of them. But then the 4th of July parade, the police department will play a role in that. I always love 4th of July parade. It's Americana when you're marching down Main Street on the 4th of July, with the police and fire and all the bands. And Scott, you're usually a judge or at least a moderator there, MC?
Something, yeah. But I have heard that there isn't a 4th of July parade this year, Chief.
We will have one.
We are going to have one.
We will have one.
Oh, then
we have to shut down traffic and have it ourselves.
Breaking news to me.
There it is.
All right. Well, there you go.
So in front of the PD, if anything.
Wow. Well. Okay. We might block off Main Street and might do it there.
Okay.
I had not heard that.
I will look forward to whatever we have.
We will do something.
All right.
That part I actually like.
If it's you in a golf cart, I guess it's a parade.
Well, yes. Yeah, I am getting that age where I need the golf cart. I'll tell you, the heat is never good for me.
I hear you. That's true.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have to look into that. I'm disturbed to hear that news.
So. I understand. Me too.
Yes.
I heard it.
Yes. So, Shanice, what do you have coming up this summer? Lots of softball.
Lots of softball. We do have a day at the lake that we haven't talked about. So that we moved it. It was supposed to be in July. That got pushed to August. So August 5th, we'll have that. You'll start seeing our advertisements for that July 1st. Or so start pushing that stuff out on our social media.
Which was our second one of those.
Mm-hmm.
First one last year was surprising how well it was received and how many people attended. So we're interested in doing it again. But I think we got caught flat-footed this year, and we did delay it into August, which should be great.
Yeah, it should. And you have big news.
I have big news.
You have big news.
What was my
big news?
You
were elected.
Ah, yes. I had been president of the Chiefs Association a couple of years ago. I took a two-year break, and I just got elected to be president of the Chiefs Association again, which starts in September, and it's a two-year term. So it's lots of interaction with the legislature. And I imagine this upcoming year, which is only a 30-day session, we'll have lots of interesting things to talk about, whether gun control or school safety, SRO programs, those kind of things should be back on the radar. And so, yeah, we'll be down there and engaged. And I actually took Shanice with me to a session here this last February, I think, that you went down with me. And it was her first time going to the Senate, and it was interesting.
It was interesting. I could definitely say that. But it was cool, even with you not being the president, you were still representing all law enforcement in New Mexico, talking about those bills and the impacts that they were going to have on the community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the democratic process is a little bit like watching sausage made, which isn't always a great thing. But it is interesting to see, you know, to see how it's going. And so we will. Farmington will be playing a role. I know that the sheriff has been president of the Sheriff's Association here in New Mexico here for the last couple of years, too. So San Juan County definitely has a voice at down in Santa Fe, the best that we can, to try and educate our legislators on things that we need to keep our community safe. And I imagine that will be a big topic here coming up. So this will be a busy couple of weeks for us coming up, but we will be back just before the start of July already. So if you haven't got out yet and started to realize that it's summer and it's golfing and beach and softball, you know, now's the time to get out before it all passes us by in the blink of an eye. And look for Scott tomorrow in his shorts on Saturday. It's always exciting to see that. And otherwise, have a great couple of weeks. Bye.
And this is Monty Python's Spamalot. A new musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Run away, run away!
Featuring a bevy of beautiful showgirls, cows, killer rabbits, and French people. Don't miss the smash hit Broadway musical Spamalot. Or else we shall say, nit!
Spamalot at the Farmington Civic Center June 8th through the 18th. Find tickets at fmtn.org/shows.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.